Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. And the excuse is no more. We weren't able to do it yesterday and definitely not able to use it today for your Milwaukee Brewers as much as we would like to. A 7-1 loss and now 7 of their last 9 games losers. The Milwaukee Brewers come in with a game and a half deficit between them and the Chicago Cubs. 414-799-1250. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. That's the phone number, 414-799-1250, live at 1057fmthefan.com. The Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox. You can reach us there. You can reach us on Twitter if you want to interact with the program. And we enjoy when you do at 1057fmthefan on Twitter and Facebook as well. Sparky, yesterday we're out at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard. And I'm out there for the Pro Hoops Draft Show with Ryan Horvath, you and I from 2 to 6. And we're talking Brewers. We're talking a little bit of Bucks, talking a lot about the NBA and where things could maneuver, and as well fit in a ton of Brewers talk because they're top of mind right now and where they find themselves in this particular situation. Now, once again, down a game and a half to the Chicago Cubs as they seem to have started to right the ship a little bit, and Jimmy Nelson, the problem child last night, 5 innings, 5 runs.
You have to be better. And you can sit here and yell and scream about Jimmy Nelson, but you didn't score again.
Yeah.
And this is a different team. This isn't the Padres shutting you down. Now it's the Reds shutting you down. And grant you, the Reds pitching has been much better this year. And I understand that. But still, you're at home. You're at Miller Park. You need to start swinging the bats here, right? And you're going to go through slumps throughout the course of the year. You're going to go through your ups and downs, right? They always say that stupid thing. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. God, I hate that saying. But they always say it about baseball. Lots of time left. Don't worry about it. They'll be fine. Okay. That is all well and good, and I understand that. But I think there is a definite panic that has set in amongst Brewer fans at this point because there's not a lot of good to hang your hat on right now watching these Brewer games for the last week or so. There's just not a lot of good things other than
Yelich. You're grasping at straws for good things.
Other than Yelich hitting his home runs, there's not much else really going on to be excited about with this Brewers team. And that's what leads to the question. Do you still believe in this Brewers team? Do you still believe? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. It's a pretty straight-laced question, not that hard to understand. Do you still believe in them? As I'm telling you right now, based on what I've seen on social media for the last week, there's not many people still believing in this Brewers baseball team. It's just doesn't appear that there's a lot of faith left.
Have you seen Dunn Club invitations accepted already?
Yesterday morning, somebody tweeted that he's starting the Dunn Club. Or she. Maybe it was a she. I don't know. Somebody on Twitter, yeah, definitely started the Dunn Club yesterday.
Enjoy the rest of the summer.
Now, again, the Dunn Club.
It is the first day of summer, people.
The Dunn Club simply means that you don't believe they're going to the playoffs. That doesn't mean you're done watching them or done going to games. The Dunn Club simply means that you don't think they're a playoff team. And just to clarify, because we're the ones that started the Dunn Club on this station years ago. So that's what it means. So I still believe. I still think they're going to be fine. I still think they're going to turn things around. I still believe that this Brewers baseball team, at the end of the day, will be right there at the end, competing for this division. If not the division, the wild card, whatever. But they will have postseason hopes still alive that last week, 2 weeks of the season, with a chance to do something about it. You have a trade deadline coming up where David Stearns can improve this baseball team. But right now, they need something to kind of get them out of this funk at this point.
And it's not going to be as easy as an off day. A lot of times when the team goes through a drought, I look for when's the next available off day to give you a chance to catch your breath and get your head above water. They're going to have one here on Monday, but it's not that. It's bigger to a point of where they need some acquisitions. They need some help offensively. And it's starting to – we did the question yesterday of what time or how long will you give the team. I was thinking closer to a week. At this point, I think it's closer to the end of the weekend that you're going to need to have Keston Hira up here to give you some legitimate, consistent offense. Because, as you said, you can point to Jimmy Nelson and point the finger as much as you want, 5 runs in 5 innings.
3 runs in the first.
This is an offensive issue. This was never the thought process nope. coming into the year that we were going to struggle offensively. And now this is back into 2017 where we were expecting for the team to be full go offensively and the pitching staff to struggle. And down the stretch in 2017, the pitching kept you in this. And the pitching relatively has kept you in the last couple of weeks.
I haven't been able to capitalize
on many opportunities.
Never thought I'd say this, but they need Gio Gonzalez back. Boy, oh boy, do they need Gio Gonzalez back in this rotation to kind of be a stabilizing force a little bit right now, because Davies,
and just to be a left-handed arm.
Davies hasn't been all that great his last couple of times out. He hasn't been he's not dominant, but whatever Zach Davies was for the first 2 months, he hasn't been that guy necessarily. So they need another arm in this rotation that they can rely on, because if you're going to allow Jimmy Nelson to try and figure this out at the major league level, then that's going to be a huge question mark every time his rotation spot comes up. And right now, when you look at the rotation spots, who are you feel confident in that you can win baseball games with? Who?
Woodruff.
Okay, Woodruff. When he comes up, I think we can win that game.
Yeah.
Okay, who else?
Brandon Woodruff.
Not even Davies at this point.
No, yeah, I would still feel good about Zach Davies at this point, but to the extent, too, though, they haven't necessarily proven that, like in years past, Zach Davies is the dude that the offense steps up for every single time. He's lacked in run
that
support quite a bit as well.
You can't control that. There's nothing you can do to control that. All I'm saying is, as a fan,
sure,
you are going to Miller Park to go see the Brewers play whoever, and you go, oh, so-and-so's pitching. Great, I'm going to go. In fact, Ben, who's a listener of ours, yesterday or the day before said, I could go to the game, but I see Jimmy Nelson's pitching, so I'm not going. Because I don't think that's going to happen. And he tweeted me after the first thing. I goes, and I'm glad I didn't spend my money. This is what I thought was going to occur. But see, that's just it, though. When you look at pitching matchups and you have 81 games to go to at Miller Park, you're going to pick and choose.
Sure.
I would think based on promotion of what's going on at Miller Park, what bobblehead giveaway or T-shirt giveaway or whatever they got going on, or other people will look at it and go, I want to go see him win, so I don't want to go to a mismatch here where I don't think our pitching is going to hold up and we're going to get smacked all over the yard. Some people don't care about either. Some people are going for the tailgate experience,
right,
just to go watch a baseball game.
No
don't
doubt.
Care if they win,
plenty
don't care
those.
If they lose, just going to go chill. But other people, like Ben from yesterday, want to see them win. And if they don't feel confident in the starting pitcher against whoever the other team has, they probably won't buy tickets to go see that game. I don't know if that's a large percentage of people, but that's definitely a percentage of people for sure.
Well, for who? Who are the guys that you look at and pencil in that you believe that you can win games with? Because if the question is, do you still believe in the Milwaukee Brewers, you're falling into Ben's category as well? Woodruff and maybe Davies?
Woodruff and Davies I would think those two. And Davies, I still don't think that's going to maintain all year long. I just don't think he can.
The crazy pace that he was on, I don't believe can maintain as well.
No.
I would agree
and
with you on
Mark
that.
Mark Simon from Sports Info Solutions was on Wednesday, and he said, look at the numbers. He looks more like a 4 ERA pitcher more than he does a 2 ERA pitcher for certain. And now you're starting to see him come back to earth and the numbers starting to catch up to him. So if he goes back to being a 4.5 ERA pitcher, baby Tosh, now you have no legitimate one in this rotation, and now you're really relying on the young kid Woodruff to try and carry the water for the entire rotation. That's a horrible situation to have, where you have one guy that you look at and you feel confident in.
And that's where I think the belief system for me and you is similar. I still believe in this organization. In the powers that be, in David Stearns, Matt Arnold, and the rest of the guys in the front office, I believe that they understand. They're taking note of exactly what's happening at this point, too. They know the dire straits that the team's in right now, 7 of their last 9, but they're not going to be able to panic and go make a crazy acquisition at this time, because a lot of people aren't going to be dance partners. But when the time comes and when the available arms are there, I believe that they're going to take the steps this year to understand that not many people are going to be untouchable as they were last year. Because you saw that untouchables don't always pan out when you believe that they are ready to go.
They could be sellers.
With?
Whoever. I mean, I'm just saying they could be sellers. I mean, I just don't know if you can assume right now with how they're playing that automatically that...
Yeah, I can't buy that.
In a month's time that they're going to be buyers still. In a month, in 30 days from right now, they're definitely going to buy. There's just no way to know. There's just not. Now, I think they're going to be competitive in it at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that, oh, yeah, for sure, they're going to be right there, because every general manager has to go on feel as far as how he thinks his team is playing at that time.
Right.
And how much of a realistic chance he thinks they can get the postseason based on how other teams are playing and the talent level on those teams. And if you get to that point and say the Brewers are, I hope I'm wrong, but let's say the Brewers are 5 games out of the division lead at that point, and one of a bunch of wildcard teams. Is he going to go for it, quote unquote, or is he going to be like, maybe not this year?
Well,
maybe we'll stand pat, or maybe trade one of our surplus of guys and get a couple prospects.
We've also talked, though, about how the division is going to be so stacked up at that point because of where everybody is at right now. They're 7.5 games up. Are the Cubs on last place Pittsburgh? But everybody's bunched up in the sense that a lot of the teams in this division are going to believe that they're buyers with just one trade deadline this year.
I don't see
the Reds are going to go after somebody.
I mean, the Pirates, if you go into the trade deadline 7 out, you're not buying anything.
They bought Chris Archer last year 12 out.
But that was future. That was a controllable asset.
It was brutal. An awful trade for them.
Correct. But it was a controllable young asset that they would have for a number of years. And when you're in that market size, anytime you get an opportunity to do something like that, you do it, hoping that it pans out before the end of the deal. Cincinnati Reds. Now, I could see them maybe doing something. I was reading earlier today in MLB trade rumors that they may be in the market looking for another veteran bat to add to them because their offense has struggled to this point as well, and they're waiting for some of their bats to catch a little bit of fire this summer and a bandbox of a ballpark that they have in Great American Ballpark. Keith tweets at 105.7 FM, the Fan. Yeah, I still believe. They need some help, but it's too early to bail as some have been. Baseball isn't like most sports. The best team doesn't always win the World Series. The Brewers are not the best team. Far from it at this point. But if they make the playoffs, they can certainly make a run. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? The best team always doesn't win the World Series?
Yeah. I believe this is the most sprint-to-the-finish sport that there is outside of the NFL.
Yeah, I think the NFL is definitely the king of that. That, I mean, you have to do is look at the Patriots that one year when the Giants made their run. Look at the Packers when they went to the Super Bowl. They were fighting just to get into the playoffs at the end of that year and pretty much had to win out
Raiders
to get in.
Multiple years ago.
And
yeah,
then, were on,
those.
Then they were on fire going in. It always tends to be that hot team at the end of the year more than the team that has been in control the entire time.
Do you still believe in the Milwaukee Brewers? 414-799-1250. Straight up forward question. 414-799-1250. Do you still believe that this Brewers team is a playoff caliber team, and that this team will end up in the playoffs? And I sure hope so, because I'd like to be drinking some playoff Bofrittings for the Milwaukee Brewers like we were for the Milwaukee Bucks. This summer, guys, though, go all natural with Bofritting beer. Imported from the country of Luxembourg, Bofritting is new to the United States, but is being imported exclusively to the state of Wisconsin by a local company. Bofritting, 100% natural and brewed with the finest raw materials. We're talking about fresh spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. That spring water I was telling you guys about from a special source, 1,000 feet directly beneath the brewery of Bofrittingen. And ever since then, because water is beer's most important ingredient, this exceptionally pure water gives Bofrittingen its fresh taste and smooth drinkability. You'll notice the difference when you drink a crisp Pilsner, a smooth triple ale, a balanced brew, and thanks to Bofrittingen's 100% natural ingredients and commitment to quality, all of its brews give you the full flavor that's refreshing rather than filling. Bofrittingen is available in more places in Milwaukee than ever before. Try a six-pack of Total Wine and More, Sendix Fine Foods, Consumer Beverage, or enjoy a fresh tap at Cafe Hollander, Benelux, Nomad, or Sport Club. Whenever you're having an all-natural Bofrittingen, let Bofrittingen Bill know, hashtag Bofrittingen Bill, and I might just come out and have a Bofrittingen on you. It's Bofrittingen, Milwaukee's favorite smooth choice for the summer. 414-799-1250. The boys of summer are in more trouble than ever before. 7 of their last 9 losers, the Milwaukee Brewers. Do you still have faith in the Brewers to the making it to the playoffs? Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll be right back. Show on the Fan, 414-799-1250. Here we'll give you some more belief in the Milwaukee Brewers. It's 3-2 Mets in the bottom of the third inning down at Wrigley Field over the Cubs. So Brewers a game and a half back of the Chicago Cubs, thanks to my boy Jeff McNeil. It's 3-2 Mets, and the Brewers could gain that half game back here before they even start up tonight against the Cincinnati Reds at Miller Park.
PacFan 1996 responding to our question, do you still believe in the Brewers? Tweets at 105.7 FM The Fan, nope. If management has zero interest in winning, then why should I follow them and definitely will not be spending money to go to a game? Why should I line their pockets with money they just put in the bank instead of using it to improve their team? They don't care, so I don't care. PacFan 1996 tweeting at 105.7 FM The Fan.
How can you say that they do not care when it is this season where they are already in a franchise best for payroll? The highest payroll they've had as a franchise.
I heard.
And you're going to say that's not them trying to follow up an NLCS appearance?
I heard Bill Michaels, I think it was yesterday, say something on his show when this got brought up about, oh, they got a great payroll. It's the best payroll they've ever had. And he said, okay, so this is like saying, like, all the hip people, all the cool people are driving Corvettes, right?
Okay.
All the cool people. You've got a Chevette and you upgraded to a Malibu.
Right.
Good nice. For you, but guess what? You're still not very cool if the rest of them are all driving Corvettes. Still in your Malibu.
Yeah, but
right?
If you got the top down, you can still look pretty good. Wind in your hair.
No, okay, but it's still not the elite car.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that I thought it was pretty funny. I laughed. I was like, he's right.
I know.
Right? He's right. So that's kind of where you
very
are
right.
from the Brewers standpoint. That's kind of exactly where you are. And so as a Brewers fan, you know, some of our fans don't understand maybe the whole economics of, like, really what they're working with. And we've talked about this a million times. And Mark isn't that different from Bud Selig when he was an owner in the aspect of they're not in this to lose money, folks. They have their budget. They're going to stay in their budget. But I'm not so sure about it. But Mark is not going to go into his own personal checking account and write a check to get somebody. Like, that's just not going to happen. It's going to be within the structure and framework of the business. That's how this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what he has benefited from is Rick Schlesinger and the marketing department and the outstanding job they've done in running this thing and the different promotions they do, how they continue to upgrade and do different things at Miller Park to keep that fresh and alive and so forth.
No doubt.
And how they go about doing all their community work and stuff like that. That's all integral to this whole thing. But you're still only getting so much money coming through the door through ticket sales, through TV revenue,
and that's
through
never
radio
gonna
revenue,
change.
Right? You're just never going to get that big market kick in the
I
butt
yep.
that you would get in L.A. or New York or whatever the case is. So just got to remember here, they're kind of working within a structure of what they can spend. And I don't think, I guess I could be wrong, I don't think these guys are pocketing, you know, a ton of money and not spending it when they could be spending it on the major league roster. I don't think that's happening. And you also have to understand that they're also spending money on the minor leagues. They're spending money on research and development. They're spending money
entire spring training facility,
international scouting and international academies that they have built up all over the place.
Great point.
All of that goes into it. Plus, they just dropped $60 million or whatever to redo the spring training facility. So they've got that going on. All of that works together. All of that comes together. I'm not going to sit on the radio and blast Mark for not spending money. Like, I just don't think that's fair. I don't think that's something that you should do at this point, because I don't think there's any real evidence to suggest that he's not spending all the money that he has.
And I get where the numbers can be staggering when you read the Forbes article from last year where it values the Brewers organization at, what, like $1.1 billion, and Mark bought it for $273 million back in 2005?
Pretty good investment.
But 1,000%. But look at what professional sports have done in the last 12 years. The demand
goes up.
It has gone up drastically.
Everything. Bucks have gone up since they bought it.
And that's why Major League Baseball, after they had their settlement 15 years ago, are down one of the most dangerous paths in terms of CBA collective bargaining agreements at this point, because the economics of baseball have changed so much. And same thing with the NFL, that you understand now where there is so much money to be had, but when you have to pay a guaranteed contract that have inflated to the places that they have in pro sports, it's difficult for me to, like you said, come out here and blast Mark for not spending a whole bunch of money and saying that he's not here to win games.
I mean, just go ahead and Google and start looking up TV deals and revenue deals that the Yankees are bringing in, that the Red Sox are bringing in, that the Astros are bringing in, that the Cubs are bringing in. The Cubs are starting their own TV network, for God's sakes. So, I mean, from that perspective, it's at a completely different level than what the Brewers are dealing with. And that, you may not like it, but I'm just trying to help you understand it. Ben tweets at 105.7 FM, the fan, I believe in Christian Yelich. That, I'm certain. I also believe in Moustakas.
Okay.
Need the others to make me believe.
No Yasmani Grandal?
Two guys.
By the way, primary voting ends today at 3 o'clock, so go on to Brewers.com and vote your Brewers into the All-Star Game. As Yasmani Grandal and Mike Moustakas need your help here in the final push.
Both of them do, huh?
Both of them do. They're right there on the edge of the framework of the third, and then this whole new structure where they're going to then vote the starters as like a popularity contest is one of the weird things that I don't understand.
Bobby tweets, at the fan, I watched the NBA draft over the Brewers last night. Only checked in to see my fantasy dudes Rake, Senzel, and Puig. And I don't plan on watching tonight unless I can watch, all right, unless I can catch them dudes bat again. That's Bobby.
I don't like that at all.
Bobby's a huge sports fan. Bobby's been following fans' Twitter account, listening to the station for quite a while. So it's not like he's a casual sports fan that kind of watches sports. This dude's always tweeting at us about different stuff.
Well, and
so you got that kind of core dude now saying, I'm not watching.
You heard a lot of guys on Tim's postgame last night when I was driving back from the Q Club last night. A lot of people were calling in saying that they're taking breaks. The Suns it's too nice out here to be watching games that they're playing so bad.
Baby Tom.
Are you kidding me?
Last night.
It's the first day of summer.
Last night. Did a lot. I left Q Club. Got home, drove to Kay's parents' house, then left there, drove back to our house, and then drove back
right
to
at the in-laws.
Right,
That's fun.
Back to Kay's parents' house, right? So I was in the car for like 2 hours. So I listened to all 2 hours of the draft show, the Pro Hoops draft show, which I think Baby Talish and Ryan Horvath did an exceptional job last night.
Thanks,
it was
man.
Really,
appreciate
really
it.
Well done. Sounded really good. So I was listening to those 2 hours. So then we're over there for a little while. And then we went over to the batting cages in Greenfield on Layden. It's called, what's it called? River Falls, I think it's called.
Oh, you're talking about right over on like 60th and Layden
right.
over by Conkle Park.
Right, right. And it's got miniature golf.
Oh, I just rake in those slow pitch softball cages.
Okay.
Rake.
It's different. Now they've changed it all. So I thought something was up because I'd been driving by there and the dumpsters outside were overflowing. I'm like, oh, they must have done something.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, those cages were horrible. Like, we quit going there because they were horrible. Like, I don't even want to tell you that other than the...
What, are they throwing sliders at you or what?
No, but the balls were going all over the place. And then the machines kept breaking.
Come
and
on,
it
machine.
Was,
you got to repeat that arm
right,
slot.
The machines kept breaking. It was horrible. But we had all these extra tokens from last year. So we're like, all right, we'll just go waste these tokens.
No doubt.
Whatever.
Have
so
to.
We took the 12-year-old over there. Oh, buddy. They got brand new machines. Brand new machines. And now they have a whole thing, and you can pick what speed you want to go from right
now
there.
We're talking. Okay.
And you can go up or down. You can adjust where you want the balls to go, baseball or softball, and all the cages are the same. They're no longer divided up. Because before it was like fast cages, medium cages.
Yeah, you could only go like two cages
right.
for fast pitch baseball.
Nope.
Two.
Now they're all the
nice.
Same, and it tells you the speeds.
Okay.
Dude, it's
21st
way,
century.
It's way better. So anyways.
Nice
so
job,
we were
Lane
over,
Avenue.
Right, so we were over there. And did that until our coins ran out. Then we went to go eat dinner at like 9 o'clock or whatever, right? We sit down. And this is a chain restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice sit-down chain restaurant.
Sure.
We had a coupon. So we went over there. That's why we went. We had a two-for-one deal. So I got one. Kay got one.
I love it.
Right. That's what it's all about.
The only way
I
go.
And you have a family, too. That's how you're doing it. So we go over there. We sit down. And there's a draft on the TV. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Turn over. There's a draft. There's a draft. I look behind me, College World Series, no Brewers game on in the entire restaurant. And they've got 10 TVs in there. Not on one TV. No Brewers. Nobody asking for Brewers.
They know that they
no
were playing.
No Brewers.
Not one person
not,
to ask for the game?
Not
on?
One TV.
Come on.
They were all watching the draft on most of the TVs, and I think one or two were watching College World Series. Mississippi State.
Oh, I love Ethan Small, but dude, seriously.
He wasn't pitching. No. Mm.
Wow.
I was like, holy cow. Like,
just made me really depressed.
I couldn't tell you the last
really
time
depressed.
I was in a bar or a restaurant when the Brewers were playing and it wasn't on. Like, for the Bucks, I was used to it. That's how it always was.
Oh, no doubt.
But
it was.
For the Brewers, I can't tell you the last time I've ever been in a restaurant with the Brewers playing and it's not on a single TV in the entire restaurant.
And it's not like they were watching The View. It's not like it was 11 a.m. in the morning.
9 o'clock at night.
Oh, that's brutal. Do you still believe in the... That makes me not believe that the city of Milwaukee is believing in the Brewers.
Nope.
Goodness gracious. They're in second place.
You were saying first place a couple of
times. I was saying first place, and I really wanted to say it there, too. I really, really, really wanted to say it there. But the Cubs are down 3-2, and Yu Darvish is pitching.
How far ahead are they of third place?
Game and a half over the St. Louis Cardinals.
Will they be in second place by Monday?
Yeah, they'll be in second place by Monday. I believe they'll be in first place by Monday.
I believe they'll be in first place by Monday. Third place by Monday.
Yeah.
You're going to start having problems.
Oh, and I will start breaking out in a rash. I don't know if I can handle much more of this losing that the Brewers are doing. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I wouldn't be here without my mom. She did everything for me. I just want to thank her.
Zion Williamson last night, overcome with emotion and during the NBA draft. Literally, it was like there were just dust flying all around Barclays Center last night. Tears were going everywhere. And then I'm trying to do a radio show with Ryan Horvath at the Q Club of Wisconsin. And I'm an emotional guy. I'm a big dude, but I'm an emotional dude. I always have claimed to be in touch with my emotions. When I see people tearing up, well, yeah, sometimes kind of cold-hearted. But either way, you know, sometimes I look at people crying and I get choked up a little bit. I get teary-eyed. So I'm not going to lie. When I saw a dude that would dwarf me, in Zion Williamson, shedding a tear, standing next to his mom, crying and realizing his dream. It was got a little dusty in the Q Club of Wisconsin. It was dusty all night. I'm not going to lie. Then RJ Barrett comes up. He's tearing up. His dad's crying. It's amazing.
I do, since you keep bringing up the draft show last night, I do have a point of contention with the draft show last
night. Okay.
So I remember good old KGS had tweeted about, are you all going to stay off of social media and Twitter and not know what all is coming and play it straight, like how we've played it in the past. And you said, it's going to be tough. But well,
it was tough.
Y'all liars. You weren't staying off of social media at all. Horvath, and I know I'm positive, you both.
He did call one, and I was like, bro, there's no way.
You both were sitting there talking about Wojo, and then, oh, well, he started to tip picks, and Shams is... And I had just saw the Shams Atlanta number 10 pick.
Yep, that was the one that I saw. And I'm like, and dude, you got to be kidding me.
And then you faked it, and you guessed somebody else. And he's like, well, I think, and then took the Shams pick. And I'm in my car going, dude, you know darn right well you saw what the pick is. Just own it.
So I saw three picks in the first round. I saw that 10th pick. I think I saw the 17th pick or the 23rd pick as we were looking at a trade or whatever. And then as I'm closing a couple of tabs on my computer and all of a sudden I click on Twitter and I see the Bucks 30th pick. And Kevin Porter Jr., you had asked if Horvath and I were going to be betting on players or betting on picks like
skins.
All night long. Yep. So I took one skins bet. I thought Kevin Porter Jr. was locked in teens that he was going to go. Horvath goes, dude, I could see him falling out of the first round. I don't even think he's going to go
in
the first round.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, dude, I'll give you the 20s. I'll give you 20s. So I lose there, and I'm like, all right, sweet. Let's go double or nothing. And I saw that for about a minute and a half. I was just kind of swirling in my chair like, I'm going to win some money, and you still don't know yet. And then I got really into Horvath after Kevin Porter was announced at 30.
I'm telling you, that kid, we were talking about this yesterday on the show, about if whoever gets picked at 30 ends up being something.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bucks don't have that guy because they had to move Tony Snell's contract and they get John Luehr. People are going to remember this forever if that kid ends up being something. And that kid is super talented.
Oh, yeah.
And that kid I brought
very
up
much
for Hammond. Remember yesterday?
Yeah.
I brought him up and I said, but a lot of red flags around this dude's character. So I'm really not sure John's going to go messing with that.
Now, usually John Hammond shies away from the character issues.
Not messing with guys. For the most part, it's hard workers, and that's what it's going to be for the most part. I mean, there's exceptions to every rule. But, yeah, for the most part. And Sure enough, there he goes. And then he gets traded for 4 second-round picks.
Yeah.
4 second-round picks.
That just showed what John Horst said it after the draft last night. Guys, we called pretty much every single pick in the second round, tried to get picks. Teams just aren't selling them like they were last year.
What are you talking about? One team sold 3 second-round draft picks last night. Another team sold four.
It wasn't just for back in the day. You'd be like, all right, I got $400K for you.
Golden State bought Atlanta's second-round pick last night.
For 1.8.
Yeah,
and
but
then
you can
another
spend up
with
to
money and picks that they were going with.
What is it? You can spend
3.5,
up to...
3.5, I believe.
So you could spend up to a certain amount of money.
1.8 million? Goodness gracious. Although John Hammond did throw me a curveball there at 16. I was not expecting Chuma, a dude with a torn ACL, to get picked in at 16 John Hammond.
Aaron Gordon must not be much longer for that organization.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because they were looking at possibly moving big contracts, and that's really the only big one they have.
They've got nothing but big guys. I mean, that's what he wants is long guys. But if you think about it, that's all they've been drafting.
Chuma's
are
a little bit thicker,
guys.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, you've been drafting long guys in Orlando for a while. So that doesn't speak well for Aaron Gordon's future in Orlando.
What draft is more exciting for you? Because the NBA draft last night was, I mean, it was outstanding. Picks were getting traded left and right. Mitch was dropping the breaking news left and right on us. We're listening, trying to figure out who's picking. In the 19 through 34, I had no idea who was drafting. The Brooklyn Nets had one pick, and it was traded 4 different times.
Yep.
The Bucks trade, the 30th pick, was traded 3 different times. I think the 24th pick, the one that Ty Jerome goes to Virginia, that one was traded 4 times. So, I mean, in that sense, the NBA draft is exciting as all hell.
Yes.
But I don't know who's picking.
It's
like,
awesome.
The Brooklyn Nets and everybody at Barclays Center is like, sweet, we're going to see this kid once because he's going to be in the Western Conference. At least in the NFL draft. Granted, it takes 4 years. But you have the trades immediately there. You have the right hats being put on the guys that are wearing the hats. You get cool pictures with the commissioner. And granted, it does take 7 hours to do one round.
Okay.
But the NFL draft is outstanding.
First of all, the NBA draft and the NBA players have much, much wilder choices for suits than the NFL guys do. I mean,
Tyler Hero might have won the suit off last night.
It's been that way forever, right? They've always had the crazier suits in the NBA than the NFL guys do. So that's always entertaining to see what people are wearing. The other thing that I enjoy thoroughly about the NBA draft is, when I was doing the draft show all those years, was a pick gets made and you turn to your co-host and you go, well, this can't be for them. This has to be a trade. Like, they have to be drafting for somebody else. We don't know who yet.
Sure.
But in an hour, we're going to find out that this was for somebody else and they're getting somebody else. Like, this just doesn't make any sense. He doesn't line up with what they have on the roster. This has to be a trade coming. That is what I enjoy thoroughly. Like, trying to figure out who the heck they're trading with or who it could be for, whatever else. Or maybe it doesn't end up being a trade. All of that stuff, I just love. And then, like you said, when it gets bonkers time where everybody's moving around
left
up and down
right.
the draft and you're just trying to write everything down and trying to keep track of who's picking where. And, oh, yeah, that's so much fun. For me, growing up, the NFL draft was always my favorite by far, right? I watched the NBA draft, but I wasn't into it as much as far as mock drafting, watching as many college basketball games as I did college football, all that other stuff. Always was in more into the NFL draft than the NBA draft, but... Man, oh man, I tell you what, the NBA draft, boy, it to me has kind of stolen a little bit of what the NFL draft is. The NFL draft now, like you said, is 3 days. Before it was 2 days, now it's 3 days. And it's brilliant by the NFL because you get these NFL fans to watch for 3 days, if not three, at least two. You get them at least Friday and Saturday.
And two prime time viewing sessions, Thursday night and Friday night.
Right, Thursday and Friday for sure. And then Saturday, maybe you don't get as many during the day. But Thursday and Friday, bars are packed. Everybody's going out to the bars to watch the draft, where the NBA is only one night. So from that idea, I guess it's advantage NFL as far as capturing more of the audience. But from the aspect of movement and drama within and actual players getting dealt with picks like you were seeing too last night, that to me, the NBA wins there easily. There's far more drama in the NBA draft than there is in the NFL.
What draft's more exciting for you? 414-799-1250. Get some reaction as well on this. But there's parts of the NBA draft that make it a spectacle. And you're right. The outfits are definitely one. Last night felt like a red carpet for a good portion of it. And Maria Taylor did a great job, too, on ESPN playing into it. She's finding Keldon Johnson. This dude, Sparky, I don't know if you saw this while you were at dinner. He gets picked mid-20s or whatever. Thought he was going to go much higher. So Keldon Johnson wore two suit jackets. Not one, two suit jackets. So he had this all-white suit, and then over the top of it, he had like a Kentucky Wildcat blue and white design, you know, sequin all through. As he gets picked by wherever he ended up going, rips off the one like he's Superman and comes out in an all-fresh white suit. And I'm like, dude, what is this? Are we coming out of phone booths now for the NBA draft? Are you being picked in the middle of the 20s?
Where?
Kentucky. Oh.
Tyler Hero and his $50,000 value watch. Where did he play?
He played at Kentucky.
Yeah. You don't see Badger players doing this. Nope.
No, you didn't see any Badger players there last night either.
You barely saw any Big Ten players there last night.
One Big Ten player taken in the first round.
Yep.
Romeo Langford. 414-799-1250. This is Wendy's Big Show. We got Summerfest tickets to give away today here on the Wendy's Big Show. Big gig starts in next week?
Wednesday.
Wednesday night?
I think it's Wednesday, yeah.
Oh, Thursdays might be tough for me. 105.7 FM, the
You're
fan, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. What?
You're
what is that?
Right.
What do you think? I'm too old to go to Summerfest?
You're stop. You'll be sleeping by 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow. Now I do feel old.
You can't hang with that crowd.
What?
No.
Man.
You're too young for you.
Okay.
No.
All right. That sounds like a challenge accepted. More next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Not too many kids make it from where I'm from. You know, I'm in a small town. You know, just shout out to Whitnall. So, I mean, I'm just happy I'm here.
You're dang right, Tyler Hero. Shout out Whitnall High School. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7, 1250 AM and the radio.com app. Tyler Hero goes 13 last night to the Miami Heat. Goes from the University of Kentucky to Miami. The first of two Milwaukee-born players to go in the first round last night. Michigan's Jordan Poole goes as a late first-round pick. He ends up going 28 to the Golden State Warriors.
Great
and
pick.
You get a shout-out Whitnall High School on ESPN. I'm going to be fired up.
Yeah. Jordan Poole, nice pick. Did you hear
really good pick.
What they said about why they drafted him?
Mm-mm.
Draymond wanted him, so they took him.
Yep. That's an interesting selection. Dan Dockage went out on like a limb early in the college basketball season and was like vehemently saying, this dude is a first-round pick. I'm telling you, this guy is a first-round pick. People are just blasting him. Dan Dockage was letting everybody know that he had called the pick last
year. Sure. And, you know, that's the fun thing about this. You know, I heard you and Horvath going back and forth about, you know, which North Carolina players were going to go in the top 10, how many would go in the top 10. It didn't end up being the two that he thought would go in the top 10. He thought Nasir would go in the top 10, and he slid out of the top 10. Cam Johnson, he went way earlier than anybody thought, right?
Way earlier. Even his teammate Coby White standing up at the podium, and they tell him, and he's just at a loss for words. Shooting was at a premium last night.
That's all this league is.
But finally it was, and I don't know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like for the last like 5 years when you've been doing the draft show, it's been long arms, length, run and transition.
That's John Hammond's philosophy.
It was, the precedent was on shooting last night. You had a dude from Belmont go in the first round because you can stroke it.
Absolutely right. And the Bucks signed Fletcher McGee today.
There it is.
Fletcher McGee.
Young Fletcher.
You remember him.
Wofford.
Right.
NBA or NCAA three-point shooting record, I believe, for at least made threes.
Yeah, Fletcher McGee. So
but Tyler Hero locked him up in the tournament. That, let everybody know that.
But that fits in for what the Bucks want to do, right? They want spacing for Giannis.
You think he makes the team?
I don't know, but he'll be on their G League team probably one way or the other. And that's somebody you can bring off the bench and let him shoot. Look, Tony Snell's gone. So that's what they're looking for at this point. All right, NFL draft, NBA draft, what's more exciting for you? Scott tweets at 105.7 FM, the Fan. NBA, and it's not even close. The NFL draft is 4 days long. It's three. Dudes no one has ever even heard of. And then the nonsense of, quote, I really like this offensive tackle from Mississippi State I've been scouting for 3 years from the fans. Scott tweeting at the Fan. Yeah, that is kind of funny.
Those do happen. But you do get draft guys more in the NFL draft.
For sure. But college basketball is a lot of people that make their opinions literally based on the NCAA tournament. And if the kids aren't in the NCAA tournament, they have no idea who they are. That's normally what ends up happening. Well, did you see him in the tournament? He was great. Did you see him during the regular season? Well, no, I just watched the tournament.
99% of people that watched last night, okay, maybe I'll buffer it a little bit. 97% of people that watched last night did not know who John Morant was before he blew up against Marquette.
Correct.
Went for the triple-double and
NCAA Gary told me about John Morant before anybody did.
Yeah, back
Gary
in like Allison. December, he brought
Allison
it up
was all over John Morant. He was all over it. Ben tweets at the fan, NFL by a factor of 100. I'd watch Bachelorette before I'd watch the NBA draft.
Outdoor okay, well, that's was, a really bad, that's a really, really bad comparison because The Bachelorette is incredible television. The Bachelor is better than The Bachelorette, but I mean, that's tremendous reality television.
Sparky's like looking at me for reassurance, but really, you're just right, so it's
good television.
It's why not good you, television, but The Bachelor is better than The Bachelorette.
Then why don't you two fools do a podcast on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette? Each
years ago, it was a segment, 4:48 on Tuesdays on The Big Show. I remember when I was interning, because Gary would break it down. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Gary but we lost that airtime, so I assume the populace didn't want to hear it.
I think some of it also happened to be when the one girl called herself Platinum in the nether regions, and then everybody was like, we kind of went with that a little bit too long, and people were like, can you guys stop talking about that on The Big Show? I want to hear sports.
I thought it was about Chad. I thought it was the year Chad was big. Yeah.
Stick to sports.
It was the year Chad
That was The Bachelorette.
That was Chad was psychotic or whatever.
Yeah, Crazy Chad.
And Gary was tuning in every week and telling us what Crazy Chad was doing every week.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that was the dude that was out fighting people left and right.
Yeah, now, and this year it's like Crazy Justin or something. I don't know what his name is.
Now, that is the good part of The Bachelorette. You get more physical altercations in The Bachelorette, but I'd rather pay like money and watch dudes legitimately beat each other up.
Like Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise.
And Tom Cruise. I can't wait for that fight.
I'm not watching
inside
that.
Of a steel cage?
No, shut up. That's not happening.
In an octagon. It's going to be amazing.
We're getting sidetracked from NBA or NFL draft. What's more exciting? But since he went down this road, Ben, of Bachelorette, Chuck and Winkler, it was actually Holden yesterday. They do their stuff for tickets or whatever else, Summerfest tickets. And we have Summerfest tickets for you to be given away today on The Big Show as well. Yesterday, their question was, what's your guilty pleasure TV show? Do you know what TV show from our Twitter account got the most mentions?
It had to be The Bachelor.
90 Day Fiancé. Not even
now
close.
You watch that
I've
show.
I've never heard of that show.
Oh, don't let your girl watch it because
I have seen it.
It's very addictive.
Oh, man.
So Allie from the morning show on Kiss FM, she watches it. And my girl Kay, she watches it. So I get roped into it sometimes. I try and figure out something else either I can watch or I try to do my work on the computer for the next day while she's watching that because you can only take so much. The drama is through the roof crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty solid because you have no idea what's going to happen. Because, like, these people are, like, fighting for, like, a work visa almost.
And now I found out that one of the crazy couples, the Chantel family, apparently.
Chantel family.
Yeah, she's.
I like that name.
Her and her family are crazy. And the dude's crazy with her. Apparently, they're going to get their own spinoff TV show out of this deal as well. On top of, so once this is done, they're going to get their own reality show.
They're the Bella twins of 90 Day Fiancé?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just telling you.
No, The Bachelor would definitely be number one for me. And Monday Night Raw is a close second. Because some people believe that that's like a weird thing. You watch wrestling. Yeah, I mean, I'll watch that. Primarily, not necessarily for the wrestling. Because I like the dudes cutting promos and getting each other's faces and talking trash.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
That's really what I like it mostly for.
I agree with that. Yeah, I totally get down with that.
Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. We do have Summerfest tickets to give away. Anthony Mandel on the other side. We have two pairs of Summerfest tickets to give away today, correct?
That is correct.
All right, so two chances for you to get a pair of Summerfest tickets today on the Wendy's Big Show. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Anthony Mandel, intern and fam with you till 6 o'clock here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.